This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and SDG 12 is to ensure sustainable consumption and production patterns. Tracking Malaysia's 2020 ranking in this area showed there is no trend information and significant challenges remain. Are we able to achieve this goal by 2030? One company that's trying is Mako, and I'm here with the founder, Chelsea Chi. Did I pronounce that correctly, Chelsea?
Yes, of course.
Now, you came on air with us last year, right? Perhaps a quick recap of your company.
All right. Okay. Mako has been in Malaysia for quite a while. We have started business and deployed our first commercial unit in year 2015. We have now, of course, rented our machines as well as sold them throughout Malaysia as well as Thailand and Philippines. That's what we have been doing, and we've got a great response. Now we are bringing something new to our range and family products.
Right. We'll talk about the Munchbot a little later. You know, in the previous interview, you touched on about a circular economy, right? Can you explain what this is for people who don't understand what a circular economy is?
Okay, so what we are talking about here is when it comes to circular economy, we're talking about things that we consume, we take, and we don't throw them away. Mm. We want them to be reused or recycled or upcycled again for usage, and then it produces resources again at the end of the day. So, when it comes to Mako, what we're talking about is we have changed our very linear business model from selling our machines to renting our machines, which is more circular economy. Now, that concept has taken us into this and also helped us through the pandemic. I'm sure a lot of us will be thinking like COVID has taken a lot of business down the stream. But when it comes to having a very circular economy business model, basically you get to use the product again. It goes into the market, it comes back, it gets fabricated, cleaned up, and then all done. Then it goes back to market again to another contract. So this is what we're talking about, very circular. The linear you take, then you use, you don't like it, it goes goes back to, it's dumped away. So that's not what we want. Happens to any of the products
that you use. You know, so this figure came out on your fundraising site, which is Malaysia ranks number 5 in food wastage globally, generating close to 15,000 tons of food waste daily, and with each person contributing about 540 to 560 kilograms of food wastage per year. Another statistic, 2015 report by Malaysia's Performance Management Delivery Unit, Pemandu, Malaysia generates 15,000 tons of food waste per day, of which 9,700 tons are generated by households. Now, are people more concerned about food wastage this year when we are all tightening our belts? Do you see a change or more?
We see that people are changing. Malaysians are considering being more hygiene and more careful with their purchases. I think, first of all, when you talk about food waste, you just start off with better food planning. So you don't purchase anything that is extra and you don't use it, you start throwing it away, right? Yeah. So we were talking about, if you're talking about what happened recently with the pandemic, I think a lot of people have woken up, I'm surprised. We've gotten even more inquiries, and we've gotten people coming in to buy even the smallest composting bin that we have that is sold out in on our online platform as well as on our website.
Right.
So I think people are more concerned that way.
Okay.
It has changed a little bit. I wouldn't say percentage is very high, but we see positivity here.
Right. So a silver lining in this situation, right? You know, like you also said, you know, some policies should be in place for people to be more aware of food waste. What are some, you know, suggestions? I mean, I know many, many years ago in Singapore, you know, if you go to a buffet and you eat a certain amount, right, you know, we're going to charge you if you waste it. So, I mean, what sort of things should be in place? It worked.
Similarly, it was happening here in Malaysia.
Right.
I think the people are more very concerned about that. Okay, now, when it comes to food wastage and all that kind of thing, we want to make sure that we want it to go, you know, in a proper way where things are taken and not wasted away. I mean, over the years, we found that not only that, policy should come in, not only on our level itself. I mean, people should be taken care of, right? Okay, we have a cafe, for example, with a table of 10. You should be taking care of your food waste, having grease traps even. Don't throw things away and dump it. You have to segregate them. Segregation must come into play. So if we are talking about us being doing something for you know, Food Waste Management, I would say that the policies were set in coming in to make sure the hygiene of the cafe or the restaurant that you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you have certain amount of table size, your food waste management should be done at source rather than it's hauled out. Someone should come in if you don't take care of that and if it's left over or dumped at the roadside or any of the bin is not taken care of. Yeah. So these are the things we want to have. For organizations who are bigger, it has to be a mandate.
Right.
It has to be a mandate that they manage the food waste at source and don't go to the landfills anymore. We're talking about landfills filling up, yeah? 30-year landfill lifespan has shortened even to 20 years.
Right.
Some even 18, some even 15.
Right.
And it's filled up already.
Right.
It's not landfill anymore. It's
right.
landfill now. So we don't want that to happen. So the best way is to make sure we take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the councils or the municipalities should come in to do this.
Mm.
It's part of the policy. And to tighten that, you know, rather than just, you know, having it loose up, right? So
right.
we want that to happen.
We also like not taking so seriously because we don't think it's life threatening, you know, when we see food wastage, right? So sometimes people don't take it seriously. Yeah. What kind of programs do you do with corporations? You know, I know you also work with companies.
Yeah.
Mm.
What we start, of course, engaging a lot of their own employees and also customers. So we run programs like, oh, please, our segregation programs, our food waste segregation, also other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come in with our composting on wheels now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to events. Of course, during the COVID season, we had to, we are quiet, yeah?
Yeah.
But then we are still determined to do it. We are always in Kota Kemuning, Damoda Walk on Saturdays and Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
We have you exchanging your food waste with compost. So,
right.
So these are the things that we can do, engaging the people in organizations, engaging the employees, tell them there is a way.
Mm-hmm.
We have even organizations like food producers who has our machines, they rent them for 3 years.
Mm.
So we run programs with the employees so that they make sure that they understand there's such a way to recycle your food waste. Many doesn't know.
Yeah.
Many of us don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I didn't.
We tend to say, hey, yeah, everyone should know, right? There's a way to recycle food waste, but no.
Mm.
So we even have programs that we've done some videos, you know,
mm-hmm.
online videos you can see over our YouTube
channel.
You can see that we teach people, we not only tell you we have a technology that converts your food waste in 24 hours, but
right.
we do have ways also if you want to do it at home using a very conventional way. Yeah,
right.
But of course, it takes you a little bit of time to convert into compost. But we do that. Kind of thing to encourage the people of Malaysia to do something about food waste, even the slightest way, the smallest way.
Right.
If every one of us take a bit of that, it will change the way the environment is and also the landfills, the condition of them.
So when you go to Setia Walk as well, that area, I mean, it's also engaging the community, right?
Damuda Walk itself, yes. We're engaging with the community, we teach them, and then some of them came and say, oh, why don't you just implement this at our organization, you know, we need all this at our canteen, you know, I think contractors are coming every day to pick it up, you know, we see leeches on the floor, you know, employees, they manage their food waste and then the leeches starts dripping, you know, all
right.
over the place, it
right.
smells, you know,
uh-huh.
we share all these things.
Right.
We want things to happen, yeah. And the best way is the management can call us up, we can give them a very great option of having it in a very circular economy way, which is renting the machine. You don't even need to own it.
Okay.
And we service everything for you.
Right. So we'll talk a little bit about MunchBot in just a moment. I'm here with Chelsea Chi from Mako. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for managers, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. I'm here speaking to Chelsea Chi from Mako. Now, I know that you've just working with Ata Plus, right, for a crowdfunding
yes.
exercise. Now, what is the target and how's the response been?
Okay, Ata Plus is assisting us in this liquidity crowdfunding campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We just started a month ago, coming to a month, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and we've raised about 159,000 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Our minimum target is 500,000, maximum 4 million itself.
Right.
Well, we in Mako, we are very committed towards creating innovative technology.
Mm.
We want to close the loop. It's always been in the commercial segment, but now we want to move into the home use segment, and even it is also very suitable for food trucks. Yeah?
Right.
So this is what we're doing. And the solution is as simple as the commercial one.
Mm.
It's also being, you know, your food waste can compost within the next 24 hours and things like that. So why are we raising the fund?
Yeah.
I think, Frida, you would like to know.
Yes.
We want to manufacture the unit in a more cost-effective way.
Right.
So that it can be, so that it can be deployed to the market or people can adopt it in a very easy way and at a very fair price.
Right.
We have many options for them as well, not just purchase, but it's on rental as well.
Okay, so this unit, right, is a tiny, so tell us a little bit what the Munchbot does.
Well, it's a very small unit. Mm-hmm. It looks like a bin size. If you have a bin at home, then if you have four in the family, the bin size will be almost the same. Yeah.
Right.
It's easy, you put it there, you get a plug, it's a 3-pin plug, you just plug it on and then switch it on and you can put any of your waste, like example, your fruit peels. If you love juicing, you can have your fruit peels inside.
Mm-hmm.
You have your table waste, like unfinished, unavoidable food waste. Mm-hmm. An example, like the bones, like fish bones and things like that, you can just put it in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any cooked air, which is unfinished, you can put it in.
Right.
Raw preparation waste in the kitchen. Maybe your onion peels and your garlic peels and all your cucumber end. You can put it in.
Mm-hmm.
It works biologically. It converts the food waste into compost in just 24 hours.
Wow.
So the next day is where we just pick it up, and then put it into your plant.
Mm.
It's as simple as that, yeah.
Okay, and how long did it take to develop this?
Oh, it took us about 2 to 2.5 years to develop this.
Okay.
We shrunk the kit.
Okay, I get it. Okay, now as an investor, go on. You can say something.
And developing, not just that, we must make sure that it looks cool as well.
Yes.
It has to be the coolest thing in the kitchen. Yeah.
Right. And then so, what are the benefits for investors?
Well, we have different options for them. Mm-hmm. First of all, they get their dividends. It's preference shares, you just come in with a certain value of investment.
Mm-hmm.
At different values of investment, you get different dividends.
Right.
And of course, after 4 years, there's an option for you to convert.
Mm.
So that's the easy way. Mm. And of course, we always tell them, put a little bit of green into your wallet. I mean, a lot of investors would be investing in other things, but I think it's time for us to invest in something that has great impact in the environment.
Mm. I think people are more aware, I mean, like, you know, impact investments, right? But people do want to, they just don't know where and they don't know what they can do. So people,
you're totally right, Peter.
So now there's an option there, right? So, you know, when do you plan to launch this product?
Oh, we're going to launch it in 2021 in the month of September. We hope everything is in order. Of course, we are depending also on the ECF fundraising success.
Mm-hmm.
I see that investors are coming in.
Mm.
We have also private investors coming in to offer us different things.
Mm.
We're looking at that. But anyhow, if we don't even reach that, we are still going ahead with the launch.
Right.
We are developing already, selecting the products. We must make sure that the products are also as eco-friendly as possible.
Mm.
As the directions of Munchbot.
Can people check out the demo unit now?
Oh, you can have a look. We had even photos and images online and on other class website itself. You can, of course, get a link there. Type in and you can see us there. So we have a photo and image of it. Of course, if you're talking about video, we have not done that because it's very similar to our commercial one.
Mm.
It's like putting in and then it gets churned inside, you know, it gets, the process goes on and then you get it out the next day.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know, how much, do you have an indication of how much this will cost retail at in the future?
Oh, yes. We'll be retailing at 3,000 plus.
Okay.
The exact figure, we'll let you know. It's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
We have good discount options for our investors as well.
Right.
For their first unit, being our early adopters, we give them special prices. Then at the same time, we're also going for rental for the unit. For those who doesn't want to own the machine and wants us to take care of all the service, we do have a certain amount that you pay every month.
Okay.
Despite your water filter. So that's what we're going for.
Okay. So anyway, you are also doing some work in the Philippines, Thailand and Singapore, right?
Yes.
Okay. How's the progress there? I mean, how did things move during the pandemic?
Oh, well, it's a bit quiet, none of that. I mean, of course, they have been also very aggressive during it. They have been talking to councils and all. But of course, now they're still picking up. We have also, for Munchbot itself, we also secured, not in the overseas market, I'm talking about in Malaysia, we secured about 500 units for for our Munchbot already, intention to purchase once we launch. And then we have, of course, Philippines, it's a growing market. Our Thailand office, we are now supplying to a lot of hotels.
Then,
of course, these are the neighboring countries. We have very, very good overseas distributors who are really passionate in this and also helping us to develop the market, not only for the commercial, but also for Munchbot.
Right. You know, when you look at around the world, right, you know, I'm thinking Scandinavia, right? Best practices. Yeah, you know, what can we learn about food wastage? I'm thinking, right, that's that country, that model country. But, you know, what can we learn from different parts of the world in terms of what we can do to, you know, reduce food wastage?
Yeah, I think everybody has to work hand in hand. The municipals, the government sectors, the people of Malaysia, everyone has to step in. I feel that all of them have worked together hand in hand. Of course, like policies that I have to stress again, the policy part of it. Then at the same time, the mindset, give them ways they can do this. How, like for now, we have technologies. And then we have to run more campaigns. We have to do more road shows to give, you know, that kind of people to, you know, to engage themselves in things like this for impact in the environment and things like that. So they have technologies that they localize their technologies. Don't adopt something that is not local. So that things can be, you know, even if something goes wrong, service is there, you know, it's all, you know, reachable, right? Rather than you start waiting for it and waste a lot of time. So these are the things I stress. We have to run more campaigns, do more roadshow, create more awareness. Teach the children, like how we're doing now. We're going to school. We teach the children. We have customers giving us compost. We go to schools, teach them how to plant, you know, using compost. So these are the things we need to engage. But NECO don't want to do it alone.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to do it alone. We want to do it with organizations. We want to do it with municipalities. We have the programs that we have been running already over the years. We have the skills. And then these are the things we want to do together. We can even work together with NGOs and organizations and associations to do this. Work like how they do. Give passion to what you're doing. We don't want everyone to feel that it's all about business. No. It's the passion that drives everything. It's you in the business, not the business in you. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we hope that you'll be able to raise the funds for that. And I guess if people are looking at, you know, impact investments is one consideration. Maybe I could rent a Munchbot in the future. I don't know if I want to buy one because I hardly cook. I've been with Chelsea Chi from MACO. You've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.